We live in an age of deliberate deception. That hideous fact is a lousy place to begin a book on reading nonfiction. Can't be helped. Worse, that deception poisons our public discourse, calling everything into question. How? Consider this scenario. You walk into a bookstore and cruise the nonfiction shelves. Biographies, histories, memoirs, science explainers, works of psychological or sociological insight, self-help texts, yoga instructions, essays on all manner of topics, political analyses and treatises, a dizzying array. A clerk asks if you need help. You reply that you're simply looking for something edifying to take with you on your next trip, something that will leave you more enlightened than before about some aspect of our world. I can help, says the clerk, but first I have to warn you that there are thousands of useful books here, but two of them are not your friends. They are purposely trying to mislead readers into believing things that are not true, and they are quite good at it. Which ones? You ask. Oh, I can't tell you that. Threat of lawsuits, you know. We're required to stock them but can't criticize them for fear of dismissal. How many books are you buying today? About the same as if a pharmacist told you that out of all the bottles in the drugstore, two contain a single poisoned pill, and she can't tell you which ones. I don't know about you, but I've never had a headache that bad. This is essentially the condition we find ourselves in today. Our world is a giant apothecary of information, and some of it is terrible. Worse than terrible, toxic. And much of that venom is spewed in hope not of infecting us, of making us believe that it is true, although that's a bonus for the serpents who spew it, but of poisoning everything else, of calling all information into doubt. You know the drill. You can't trust any of them. Everybody's a liar. One side's as bad as the other. Any rational person, of course, knows that to be untrue. Not every book or article or opinion piece or documentary or blog post is a deliberate lie. Not every biography is written to push a political agenda. Not every scientific finding is the result of corrupt data. But how many does it take to tar the rest? A very few. And then we react not with our reason but with our emotions. You can't believe any of them, we think. And the serpents have won. They don't have to succeed, only to make sure that everyone else fails. How long has it been this bad? Bad news there. It has been ever thus, or at least ever since democracy eliminated the wrath of kings. From the earliest days of the Republic, our political scene has been awash with lies, libels, name-calling, brutishness, duels, and canings. Since duels are illegal and almost no one carries a cane with spine enough to inflict real damage with its malachite head, you'd think we might clean up our act a little bit, wouldn't you? Well, you would be wrong. The propaganda machine was in full swing in the early decades of American politics, which were also the early years of American printing. Powerful men bought newspapers, or if really desperate, started them, precisely to print whatever they wanted to say about themselves or their rivals. There was no falsehood they wouldn't utter, no calumny they wouldn't invent against an enemy. 100 years or so later, the age of yellow journalism was born in the circulation wars between Joseph Pulitzer's New York World and William Randolph Hearst's New York Journal. That brand of news specialized in salacious material, scare tactic headlines unwarranted by the following story, scandal mongering, and dubious reporting. Nor is that all. Wealthy people have always been able to hire writers to undertake saints' life biographies that paint over the cracks in unholy facades. Corporate public relations departments have planted newspaper stories praising their firm's accomplishments and hiding their malfeasance. Big Tobacco spent millions over decades in a campaign to hide the damage smoking inflicted on the lives of its customers. For 40 years, ExxonMobil hid its own studies, confirming global warming, while denying that burning of carbon fuels was warming up the planet. And certain tabloids displayed at grocery checkout lines specialized in stories in which the starlet of the moment was impregnated by aliens and gave birth to a three-headed fish. Although the fish part may be my exaggeration.